Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no... You're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
I think this is my favorite day of the week. Like, I love Mondays when we take calls all show, good, bad, indifferent after a Packers game. Tuesdays are fun with you and Evan Cohen getting after each other, one of the most fascinating friendships I've come across. Thursdays, starting to slide down the back of the dinosaur into the weekend and into the next game. And of course, Fridays, everything we do, Feel Good Friday, etc. But Wednesdays are the day, man. Bulaga, Homer, double Wisconsin Geography Wednesday trivia, hopefully.
Pretty good little week. Pretty good little hump day.
I'm Wilde and Tausch. Got to finish my headline video today as well. Kind of a busy day for me. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios with all kinds of crazy ideas and lens flare.
I have a headlines question at one point today, too. I don't know if we want to do that right away.
It's amazing how much we never agreed to do and have been assigned. And,
well, I'm going to say this. All right, finish your intro.
The king of the Tauscher Headline Academy. I'm already looking forward to next year. Maybe we'll go back to singing. It is the Packers Hall of Famer. It's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I think I'm abdicating. We're putting it all on you because you've complained a little bit, which is fine. I understand about the timing. But in fairness, when did those scripts come across your desk?
Right, but unlike you, I felt it was important to know what the hell was going on with the football team before I did the headline in case, oh, I don't know, Jordan Love was injured and missed the game, and then the headline would in no way be germane to the game in which I was doing the headline. So that would be the journalism training that I have. Every time I try to pre-write a story...
Big J.
No, it's not that. I'm telling you.
Ricky Jean Francois.
I forgot about Big J school.
Yeah, that's just fair. In time for him to get cut by the team, that donut story was ready to go. And so I just wanted to make sure that we were in the place we needed to be for the headline to be apropos.
Or maybe a reference to Coach Sala and the Jets the week after he gets fired.
Great example. Yeah, for sure. Good one.
And it actually worked out great because Coach Sala is now living in Rogers' basement. So yeah,
I don't think so.
We don't know.
Not unless he peed a circle around his basement to let him know that was his territory, because that was the beginning of the end of his relationship, was when he... unexcused absence, old number 12/8. All right, so We do have a lot going on today. We've got Bulaga. We've got all kinds of fun stuff lined up, as we do every Wednesday. Jesse, it is a double Wisconsin Geography Wednesday. I didn't misadvertise that.
It is double Wisconsin Geography Wednesday today. Tier 1 Tyler is going to be helping with one set of the questions, so we have that to look forward to later in the show.
Oh!
I'll let you know nice. When he gets them over.
Okay. What did he say about the price of aluminum this year? Is that do we need to get our bubbler drinks early, or is it going to be smooth sailing?
You know, it hasn't come up yet. I'm hanging out with him on Friday. I'm off Friday, by the way. I'm hanging out with him on Friday, so I'll let you know on Friday. We'll see where we're at.
Wait, awesome. You're really what again?
Yeah, of course he's off on Friday. Volleyball game.
Riley Auk is going for. He's produced every Friday in October for Wilde and Tausch, whether it's been you and I or all of us being on remote, or I've had a wedding and I have a day off this Friday, so it just works out.
Oh man! Oh man!
Thanks, Riley.
This is great. Great for your reputation.
So I have received communication from a loyal fan of the show. He will remain unnamed for the time being.
Well, what do you mean for the time being?
Because
it might change.
He asked about doing a fan submitted headline reenacting a movie scene.
And absolutely.
I've got one for him.
Now, wait.
Oh, I know you do.
Because last year, where things really got a little crazy was when we started incorporating fan-submitted singing headlines.
And by crazy, you mean amazing.
And yes. And then, you know, we got to the playoffs, and then we had, like, every segment down the stretch, we had singing headlines in our game preview on Friday. So do we want to open up this? Do we want to open up this box of fan-submitted movie reenactments to contribute along with the Academy this season?
So how does my Tito's read go?
Pour me in, coach.
Yes, Jesse, of course we do. And the beautiful part of this is you can throw it up on YouTube. We don't even have to put it on the show. If they stink, we just got to put them off.
Then why are we putting it on YouTube if it stinks?
Because it's fun. Because it's there.
Not, it's on TV. It's on YouTube. Not yet. Did that walk down memory lane in any way make you think, you know what, we really had a good thing going with the singing. Maybe we should have stuck with that. Did that crush your mind there when he said that, or not really?
No.
Oh,
no, should've. If you're not trying new things and doing some different stuff, what are we doing? Has this been as successful as the singing? I don't know.
You do.
It's early.
Yes, you do. You know.
No, it's early in the season.
It's
I have
week
a couple
eight.
Of clips coming up. Yeah, it's not even halfway through.
It's practically the midpoint.
We're not even halfway through the season. Yeah, halfway, a turning point. So, and Jesse's got one that he's doing with Tier 1 Tyler. Like, there's a lot of other stuff that we're going to get done yet. And now if I think who I think is jumping in. Y'all wrote off the G&G last year at 2-5, too.
Mm.
And what happened?
Well,
don't write off.
They had Jordan Love. The Academy has you. Yeah. And most of
Josh.
It's pre-recorded, I might add. So it's too late to really change.
I can't wait to see what you come up with
adjustments
next year.
From the Academy.
I am excited to see what the Wilde family comes up with next year.
Yeah, also, it's not the Wilde family. As Paula said, and I quote, "I never agreed to this." Did you reach out to Paula and ask her if she'd be willing to participate? Did Patrick?
No.
Did Helmut?
We did not.
Mm.
No, none of us did.
Interesting.
We just always assumed that because she never comes on the show, we thought maybe this would be a fun way.
You assumed,
who doesn't want to jump on?
You
she
assumed.
Did. Yeah,
you assumed.
Because I know Paula's a great supporter of you, so I would think that that's how that goes. Mm. But it's up to you. I didn't say Paula had to do it.
It literally in the script it says family. That would be them.
Well, your kids love being on camera. So I know your kids. What kid is in, like, whatever that play is down in Milwaukee? You don't think she's chomping to get in the mix? Of course she is. I know your kids.
The Nutcracker, is that what you were going for?
You mean, Nutcracker.
You mean the Nutcracker that she's no longer in because she's not in the Milwaukee Ballet
anymore?
It's
because you don't want to drive down to Milwaukee. All it's just
that's
too tight.
Not
she
why
has
at
other
all.
Stuff.
Oh, yeah. Snap.
There's a lot of things at play, yeah.
You ever feel like your partner doesn't listen to you?
So Jesse said that the Vikings should trade for Aaron Rodgers.
No,
is that
we are
what
not.
I understood
no,
from this?
No. Stop right
Why?
Where you are. We're not doing that.
Okay.
We are better than that.
So you're saying Evan and Michelle Schmalzman are not
Schmalman.
You think
I am saying that
what
is
a world
the Bucks,
that would be, huh?
I'm saying it's the Bucks opener tonight. They open with the 76ers. We have wall-to-wall coverage. It's on the flagship, 620 WTMJ in Milwaukee, starting at 6:30. It's on 100.5 ESPN Madison, the Madison affiliate of the Bucks Radio Network. So you get to hear all your favorite stars of the Bucks galaxy. And it's televised on ESPN, the big ESPN. My question for you, since this will be the only time we talk about the Bucks today, is this. Is it after game one that you go to Wake Me in April, or are you in for the opener and now curious with an entire year now ahead of them together with Doc Rivers as the coach and Darvin Ham back on the staff and Giannis now with Dame after an entire offseason with the team and after last year? Are you more interested in what is going to happen starting tonight and carrying through the 81 subsequent games going into the postseason?
I think this is a tipping point season for this franchise. So, yes, I'm intrigued. This isn't after the Bucks lost to Toronto in the conference finals, where I said it doesn't matter about the regular season anymore. We have not gotten out of the first round in 2 years.
It's true.
We have Dame in here who did not. I know his stat line was fine, but by all accounts, it was not a great year. He has told us. He's in great shape. He didn't get to work out because of the trade. Doc is here. His stuff is going to be implemented. This is the no excuses tour for this round of the Milwaukee Bucks. We have no more excuses. Mm-hmm. You got your guys. Here's your roster. You have everybody is working as a unit. Giannis is healthy. Let's go. There's no more. I'm not interested in all the other excuses and wake me in it. You better have a good regular season. And this better be a long postseason run, or if it is not, I do think that this ownership group and how you're approaching it has to really take a long, hard look at what the future is going to be. I know there's a lot of folks, and I gave Evan a hard time yesterday, about the national perspective of where's Giannis going to go. I'm not interested. Giannis signed an extension. Can Giannis ask to be out of here after this season? Absolutely can, and you know what? We'll accommodate him because that's what stars get now, and Giannis has earned the right to do what he wants and what he thinks is best. It's up to this front office and to this team to make it be that he's going to stay in Milwaukee. The team is old. It didn't get a ton younger. So I am more interested in this regular season than I have been in a long time because I do believe this is tipping point city for this Milwaukee Bucks group as it's currently constituted. So I don't know how much rest Giannis is going to have. The big goal, and he said this in an interview, I don't know if it was this week or last week, it's all about just getting to the playoffs healthy. He just wants a shot because he has not felt like he has been healthy in either of these first-round defeats. That's fair. But you know what? What do people always say? What do they say when it gets to be a postseason? I'm not real concerned about all your problems. Like, it is now you got to just go and deliver. You got to find a way. And is this roster better? We'll find out. I know one thing. Boston's really good. They smoked New York. New York, everybody thinks is really good. Philadelphia, the Bucks are an afterthought from a national perspective.
Except for Evan.
The fact they're not even scheduled on Christmas Day – is a total insult to what the Milwaukee Bucks. There's literally like 16 teams playing, and you're telling me Milwaukee isn't one of your top. You have two top 75 players in the history of the game on your team, and you're telling me we're not enough of a draw to play on Christmas Day?
Here are the Christmas Day games for those of you who are curious.
I think this team should be insulted. They should have a boulder on their shoulders. This better be a great regular season, and I think we need to look at this and say, let's to hell with everybody else. This is us, and I'm sick of the disrespect that the Milwaukee Bucks are getting. That's what they should be saying.
Spurs, Knicks, 76ers, Celtics, Nuggets, Suns, Timberwolves, Mavericks, and Lakers, Warriors. So 10 teams, not 16, playing on Christmas Day.
Well, part of it is, too, they acquiesced. The NFL has come into Big Bad Wolf, has come in, and the NBA is saying, ooh, I better go build me a brick house because right now that straw house get blown down. They know the Big Bad Wolf's coming to town. Mm-hmm. And they're going to just sit back and say, we better move a little bit, maybe not have as much programming because the Big Bad Wolf's going to blow us down.
Haven't they had five games on Christmas Day for the last, like, decade?
No, there's more than five. They have. Is that all they have is five?
I'm pretty sure.
I think that tells you, though, the slap of the face point that you made. They didn't scale down. If they had scaled down the schedule and the Bucks weren't on it, you could say, well, they scaled down the schedule. But if they didn't scale down the schedule, then it's the slap in the face that you made the point of. You know what else is a slap in the face to your guests?
Yeah.
Having creaky, leaky, squeaky windows when they come over to visit you.
Indeed. Get the look you want for your home with customizable windows and doors from Pella. The durability of materials gets tested tens of thousands of times to ensure that they last for years to come. Pella offers colors, innovative features like shades between the glass. And right now, still can't believe the sleek and wonderful Gina Della is 60 years young. And to celebrate Gina Della's 60th birthday, we're going to go 0 for 60. You put zero down, zero interest, and you get 60 months of free financing. Certain restrictions do apply. Hold your appointment on or before November 8th. Get started today at PellaWI.com.
So we don't really believe she's 60, right? This is like a marketing thing?
I actually don't know. Like, I'm very surprised if she is. Like, if you have not seen Gina, and I said this a while, you guys gave me grief, she looks phenomenal.
She does. You can see her on your billboard on 172 also. Look, it's a great deal, which is the most important thing. But if she's 60, I want to look that good when I'm 60, which is not as far away as I would like it to be. All right, speaking of things that are not far away, Brian Bulaga scheduled to appear. Dave and Aaron texts in to let us know that actually nationally they are saying the Bucks are the only East team that could take out the Celtics.
Nobody I'm hearing, Dave. Dave, I'm going to be honest with you. Nobody, I have not heard anyone say that other than Evan Cohen, who's a Bucks, you know, other than he's a Miami Heat homer. I'm not hearing that. And the fact that they're not even playing on your marquee, they don't think much of the Bucks.
Slap in the face. Boulder.
Stop. Yeah.
They think
we're washed. If we're being honest, people think the Bucks are washed. They think that window is closed. Right here, that Pella window, they think it's slammed shut. They don't even think there's a crack.
They need the 60 months free financing to change out the windows. The Packers play the Jacksonville Jaguars, or as our buddy Matt Hamilton says it, Jaguars. How do you say the team in Jacksonville?
Jags.
I feel like this is a good poll question. No? Jaguars or
so.
Jaguars?
I trust you on that, Steph. So you do you.
I might poll that.
Okay.
We'll talk a little bit about that matchup and everything that's ahead today at Lambeau Field. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
pray for Brian Bulaga, who is scheduled to appear next. Packers getting ready for the Jaguars. Is there a game on the Packers' schedule less sexy
Titans.
Than this one?
Yeah, the Titans was pretty unsexy. Other than being in Nashville, it would be the only thing that would, I guess,
Malik Willis
around.
Playing his former team while Jordan Love was injured.
Well, I didn't know that. Listen, it wasn't scripted.
When you were filming the headline, that. Yeah.
I think last week's game is actually less sexy than this one.
What?
The Cardinals game,
that's
yeah.
They didn't play the Cardinals last week. They played the Houston Texans, which was a 5-1
no,
team.
Not,
with one of the
so what happens when you miss so many days of work, you lose track of who they played.
Last week's game. This... The 10 days ago game. Well, I don't think of the Texans as last week. I think of the Texans as a couple of days
ago.
Well,
what do you think of this week then?
That's this week.
No, he screwed up and he doesn't. He wants
no,
the Jerry Jones.
No,
just take accountability. You didn't know. It's okay.
I
just
know
say,
they just
yeah,
beat the Houston Texans. I watched the game. Okay. Last week's
Jesse,
game was
Jesse,
the...
Jesse, just say I screwed up. I forgot that it was Arizona. It's all right. We've all done it. Yes. Just admit you screwed up.
No.
I'm not going to do it.
All right. That's fine, too.
So
yeah,
again,
but in fairness, this... Jason, there are probably 4 or 5 teams that are just completely nondescript in the entire NFL. Carolina, Jackson, and part of it is they don't have the history. They don't have the success. Carolina has been to a Super Bowl. Jacksonville should have been. They had the Patriots on the ropes with Blake Bortles, I think, in like 2016 or 2017.
Yep.
They had it. They didn't do
Good
it.
Job.
And so when you look at teams right now, as far as least relevant and really having, and this sounds bad, but they don't have anything to hang their hat on. What are the Jacksonville Jaguars, Tennessee, and Carolina? What are those teams hanging their hat on? They're all fighting for new stadiums. They all are in quarterback purgatory. You know, I think at least with Jacksonville, they're going to fire their coach. They're going to probably keep old boy. But it's just a mess, and it doesn't bring a ton of excitement. Those are your top three teams that I would say are the most nondescript NFL franchises.
Wait, are they going to fire Doug Peterson because he couldn't figure out how to make...
Dude, if he didn't beat the Patriots, he wasn't coming back. He was going to have to get his own flight back from jolly old England.
This is your former teammate, a Super Bowl winning coach we're talking about here.
Love Doug. A big fan of Doug, but facts are facts, man. It's a big boy job.
Yeah, you think it's...
They haven't gotten it done.
He's the reason why they haven't gotten it done? I don't.
He hasn't helped.
They are London's team more than they are Jacksonville's team, I wonder.
You have an arrogant... I'm not even going to say their owner's here. I don't know. Jerry Jones is arrogant.
Sure.
But when you hired Urban Meyer, you knew that he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Everybody knew. Urban Meyer didn't know players' names. And he doesn't fly home with the team, and then I'm not even going to get into all the other stuff.
Bump and grind.
You do that, you set your franchise back 3 years.
True.
Now, is Doug being treated unfairly because of where what he got left with? He's supposed to have a franchise quarterback that he's developing and getting better. I don't see that. I'm shocked
maybe the quarterback's not that good.
Touche. Maybe he is. I don't know.
What is good is the quick trip stops that Tausch loves to make when his forward motion syndrome ceases briefly so he can get off the highway and swing into a quick trip.
And my old buddy Jesse did not come to my aid. I almost ran out of gas on Monday.
Oh, wait a minute.
As I
almost?
Said, well, obviously I didn't, or I would have made a bigger deal of it. But it was the fuel.
Well, then
was
why would he have to come to your aid then if you didn't run out of gas?
I texted. He didn't even like have any sense of concern. Like I was stranded on the side of the road. I was hoping
I was
my old
playing
buddy,
pickleball.
dominating from what I understand.
I was crushing the competition. Right,
tell us about Quick Trip.
In the afternoon. It's Packers season. Enter today for great prizes all season long and only with the Quick Rewards. Packers Zone from Quick Trip could win a 2024 Chevy Traverse Z71, an Aaron snowblower, Packer game tickets, and much more. All the things that we love here on Wildy and Tausch. Entering is easy. Use your Quick Rewards when making purchases at Quick Trip, and you'll earn a Fan Zone point for every buck that you spend at Quick Trip. Every dollar. So just stop in for some Glazers or Dunkers or chicken or Nature's Touch milk on a weekend. Or just simply fill up your gas tank. And boom, those Fan Zone points are piling up. Keep tracking your Quick Rewards app. Keep it in that section, and you can start getting paid out on those rewards. Get it now through October 31st, and one winner will get 18 tickets to a Packers private suite experience for the November 24th game. Start spending today for all of these quick Packers Zone prizes. Download the Quick Rewards app in your app store and visit quicktrip.com/fanzone for full details.
Our guy Brian Bulaga joins us somewhat on time next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Like, share, and follow ESPN Madison everywhere. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok for more great content from ESPN Madison. This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
You might not know I'm here in this big city we're in, but when I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do.
You know what that music means? The highlight of our Wednesday.
Who sings this song again? Is Zach Bryant?
My buddy Jason, he's a share.
Zach Bryant?
He'll flash his
light. Who is Zach
Bryant? There's two dudes. There's like a Zach Bryan, and then there's the dude from Chicken Fried.
Yeah, no,
I think there's a lot of guys that are similarly named, isn't it, Blue?
This is Kane Brown and Chris Young.
Oh, this isn't Zach.
I think it's Luke Bryan and Zach Tom. No, wait, he's the right tackle. Speaking of right tackles, it is Brian Bulaga. Oh, a Florida man. Hey, before we get started, how do you pronounce the team name of the Jacksonville franchise of the National Football League?
What is it? Jacksonville Jaguars?
Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. You are especially helpful today with that response.
What's the other way of saying it,
so,
I guess?
I was on with Jim, Matt, and Molly, who are every weekday 4 to 6 on ESPN Madison. And Matt Hamilton, the gold medalist, calls them the Jaguars. And I don't think he's the only one that says it that way. So I'm going to pull that while you two tackles talk amongst yourselves for a moment. But I appreciate you coming through in the clutch once again. That's what you do around here. You're always on the right side of history, especially when it comes to pronunciations. All right. So the Packers do play the Jaguars on Sunday. Is that close to you? I don't know my geography. Are you driving over?
No, it's about Jacksonville is it's at the top of the state. It's probably a 4.5-5 hour drive, so I will not be
city
going.
Country. That's where City's at. City Bob will be City's, over there.
Well, City's at the panhandle. He just got to go straight across. So for him, it's probably two and some change. Easy one for him, not for me. I got pregame too. I got Packers pregame.
Yeah,
I gotta get out.
Work.
It's a road game. Yeah, I gotta work. So I'll watch it from the comfort of my home though.
Okay. Have you gone through your film study for the week? We'll worry about the offensive line and tackle talk, but did you go through your film study for the week? And if so, what jumped out at you? Because I have all kinds of questions about the risks the quarterback is taking and what your take is on those risks he's taking.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it, and you know, it's like there was good and bad to take away from it. Obviously, like, I'm not going to sit here and say the offense was terrible, because they weren't terrible. Like, they were not bad. I mean, they were productive. They moved the ball well. There was a lot of good things that happened. Jacobs had a really nice second half, and I remember they put up the little stat from first half to third quarter, and he started to be way more productive in that third quarter especially, and it was good from that standpoint. I think when I watch Jordan Love, like, he's very exciting to watch, and he's a very good quarterback. Like, I think I speak for everyone when I say that. He is very good. Mm-hmm. He still just right now is making some decisions that a young quarterback would make. And I get it. He's trying to make a play. He's trying to extend drives and keep his offense on the field. But right now, some of these decisions, like, just they're just not good, right? And sometimes you have to live with just, you know, throwing it away. Maybe, I mean, I know, listen, and this is like, you know,
don't
you
say
would
it.
Never say this.
Don't say it.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to say this as an offensive line. Sometimes you got to just eat the sack and go down and protect yourself. And listen, I know that's like anti. That's why I said throw it away first. That's why I said throw it away. Like, just chuck it into the third row at Lambeau. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, like, just, but because you'd much rather live to fight another day. Say you do take a sack and it's a 6-yard loss, than throwing a pick and having them start at your 10-yard line. Like, there's just certain things that he is still working through as a young player. And we all look at him as a veteran because of how much he's accomplished up to this point. But people need to understand he's still young, a young player starting-wise in this league. Right? It's a year, a few playoff games, and 7 more games this season. He's still a young starter. So he's going through things and learning still as he's going through. I get, what is he in his 5th year now? But he's only been starting for a year and some change. So, like,
correct.
He's still learning. And, like, and Tausch, we've talked about this before too, and I said this on Monday talking with Homer, like, there's some scar tissue this kid still needs to build, right? Like, you build that as you get experience in this league of what not to do, what you've been burned on, and that scar tissue builds. And for young guys, it's not there yet. They think they can go out there and essentially do anything,
do it
and get
all
away with it. Well, that's not and that's not the case. So he's still going through that process, but he's so damn productive that, like, you almost right now you're like, man, like, I get he threw the 2 picks and those were really bad decisions, but then he does all this other really, really, really good stuff. So, like, he's in my opinion, he's only going to get better as this season goes on, right? Like, he's only going to get more comfortable. He's going to take care of the ball. Like, he is probably, like, he's certainly going to be in the MVP talk based on, not because, like, I get people like, well, he's got the most picks. Yeah, that's going to settle itself out, I think. That's going to settle itself out.
And he's also got the second most touchdowns, too, FYI. And he's missed 2 games.
And that's why I'm saying, like, he's so productive. So, like, I'm not worried about him. Yes, I'm sure he and LaFleur and old Tom Clemens are going through the tape like, hey, decision-making here is, you know, it's a big deal. Like, when we start playing, like, in these type of game, you know, Texas, it was a tight game. They're a good football team. We do that against the Lions, we're going to get punished for that. Like, they are going to punish us for that. If we let the Lions start on the 12-yard line, like, they're going to punish us. So, like, that stuff he's going to clean up. But, like, overall, man, like, it was a fun game to watch. It was fun tape to go back through. Our defense was fantastic. I mean, I can't speak highly enough about how good the defense was and the positions they were put in, especially early on in that game, and making stops and getting the ball back. And, like, against the Texans offense, and I get they're missing, what, Nico Williams is his name, the wide receiver who's really talented.
Collins,
he's a really good
Nico
wide
Collins.
Receiver. Yeah, Nico Collins. But, like, they got plenty of playmakers on that Houston offense, right?
Can't,
like, they
block
got
anybody.
Stuff. I mean, we saw,
can't block
yeah,
anybody.
We saw Mixon. Yeah, we saw Mixon. He's a stud. We know they still get other good wideouts. They got a really good tight end. But, yeah, and that's where I said this on Thursday to Homer. This game is going to come down to up front, because you look at Houston overall on offense, they got playmakers, they got studs, they got a stud QB, but up front they're a little vulnerable, and that's where Green Bay took advantage. They were all over Stroud all day. obviously only 86 yards throwing the football. I don't think that kid's ever been held to 86 yards throwing football besides maybe when he was in third grade playing Pop Warner. Like, so like it was very, very impressive. And like, and I said it also going into it, like these two teams scheme wise schematically mirror each other. And I think I said this with you guys. So it needed to be like who executes the best. And Green Bay did, and that's how the game ended. And listen, I don't care if it came down to a field goal. It's who executes the best for 60 minutes, and Green Bay did it.
Well, I don't understand. Why are we talking about the Texans? We played the Cardinals last week, didn't we? Jesse, didn't we play Arizona last week?
I don't know. Was Brian tuned in for that?
So he gets, what did you think? Yeah, yeah, he said last week because I guess last week isn't last week. It's 2 weeks ago.
How many days is last week versus when you say, like, was last week the Cardinals game?
Why can't you just admit you screwed up?
I didn't
Blue,
screw
he can't just
up.
Admit that he screwed
Take
up.
The L.
Last week, he thought last week meant the Arizona Cardinals. Who on earth in the NFL world thinks of it that way? Nobody.
Last week is... the Texans game.
The last
and
game.
This week is the Jaguars.
Yeah.
Is this week then? We play the Texans again? I don't want to get bogged down. Blue, you said a couple of things there. And I said this on Green Bay game night. You take the good, you take the bad. It's I think it's
the
what's
facts
the show again? The Facts of Life.
The Facts of
which
Life.
Which is beyond, you're a young man yet, so you probably don't know. But the one thing, I don't mind, he's finding himself. We have to keep reminding he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to – nobody in the history of the NFL is going to be as good at not throwing picks, even though Rodgers is throwing picks all over the place this year, as Aaron Rodgers was. So let's get that out of our minds. I know it's hard from a Packer fan standpoint, but remember that he's missed two games, and he is ripping tutters too. So that part, the only thing I would argue, and this is, I think, even more so than his decision-making – I think he needs to look at this and say, what's the flow of the game? And Matt LaFleur has to help rein him in. When I saw Stroud firing his helmet after in the second quarter, coming off the field, and just watching, you knew if it got to be third and five plus, it wasn't happening. He had no trust, and then they put up the stat line, how many times he got hit and sacked. You have to understand there's games you need to be a gunslinger and let it rip. This game wasn't it. And the only reason Houston was in it is because of some of the careless turnovers that he had. That's all part of the evolution of growing up, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. That's 100% correct. Like, he's going to mature and get better, and he's going to understand situationally. And I'm not talking, like, situationally, like, it's third and one, we only need it. I'm talking about, like you said, through the flow of a game, like, a game has different characteristics and personalities from quarter to quarter. Like, everything changes throughout a game. Like, I know some fans may not understand that, but a game has ebbs and flows in it. And there's different periods of games where you know you got to do this, and then you go into a different part of the game. Like, it changes, and what you need changes throughout it. And you got to understand momentum swings and what you can do to your opposing team to really, like, demoralize them. And at that point in time, like, early on, like, you can't be throwing picks to and getting a return to the 11. Like, that's the one thing. So he'll get there. Like, I'm not worried about him at all. Like, he is not who I am worried about at all. He is, like, when he drops back and throws, I feel really good about what's going to happen. Like, I'm not worried that there's going to be a pick. I'm not worried about it at all. I think because most of the time he's throwing strikes, and that's what I feel like when he drops back to pass.
Brian, is there like a time during this season that because we all agree you can't beat good teams in playoff games if you're going to have, and he's averaging around two picks a game when he's playing. It can't have it. Is there a time that you want to start seeing this drop, or are you fine with this? This is who he is at this point. Where he is ripping tutters, but also making a couple critical mistakes during the course of a game.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see it settle itself down a little bit, obviously. Like, and, you know, to a game is not where we want to be. And I think he doesn't want to be there either, right? Like, coaching staff doesn't want him to be there. He doesn't want to be there. I think, you know, probably you're looking when we get to week 12, 13, like, and we know what part of the season that's crunch time, right? You need to start protecting it. You need to start getting playoff ready, because if you turn it over in the playoffs, you know this, Tosh, I know this. You turn it off in the play or turn it over in the playoffs.
It's over.
You're in trouble, man. Yeah, you're in trouble. Like, that's just what it is. Like, we know.
Like San Francisco. Like
Yes, the margins are very fine when you get into the playoffs. Like, and the momentum changes in the playoffs are even bigger. Like, they happen even more, and teams get juiced from one thing or another. So, like, as we start to get later on in the season, I'd love to see him tighten up. But with that, I don't want to see him not, like, take chances and make these big plays. Is that throw to Tucker Kraft in the back of the end zone? There's not many quarterbacks taking that risk, but he is. He trusts himself and he takes it, and I mean, it panned out beautifully. So, like, I don't want to see him play cautious that way. It's just these small decision making things that I think he will clean up. Like, I'm not worried about it.
Okay, well, I think we're all on the same page, but at some point I said that Detroit game after Thanksgiving, I want to start seeing last season's back half of Jordan Love. 11 tutters, one pick, but it is a process, and I think we always have to keep that in mind. Before we get to tackle talk and all the offensive line and some of your other film stuff, what impressed you most about what Jeff Hafley did when you watched the film, when you watched that tape? What was it about what Hafley did to give his guys the chance to shut down one of the best young quarterbacks and really – It made it look like he almost cried uncle on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, listen, he showed a lot of multiple pressured looks and rushed four a lot. Like, it was like we all talked about how the pass rush wasn't getting home, and he is understanding the struggle with the pass rush right now. But what he's showing is multiple pressure looks where the offensive line and quarterback are having to make adjustments of where the pressure is going to come from, and guys are dropping out, and he's rushing four, and he's making the offense guess, and they guessed wrong a lot against the Packers. And he's still sticking to his guns that he wants to get home with four, but the four that are getting home are different. Like, we saw McKinney, we saw linebackers, and obviously Rashawn Gary had a hell of a game. Like, I get his one sack was on a guy tripping, but I don't care about that. Like, what he did was in Stroud's face all game, like always pressuring him, always chasing him down. Like, and that's like when I think of Rashawn Gary, the sack numbers is what they all want. But like, I'm thinking he's constantly making the quarterback move off his spot, interrupt the timing. He's always around the ball. And obviously the coverage, when you're able to show different pressured looks up front and drop guys out, you're able to mix up coverage from man to zone. And Hafley did that really good. And we saw from the start, the secondary was in Houston's head before the ball even got kicked off. We saw the scuffle before the game and Jair in Diggs' head. Like, they were
– I don't want Stephon Diggs anywhere near my favorite football teams. I don't want him anywhere near it. None.
Well, I don't think you got to worry about that. I don't think
that's
going to happen.
How he's a captain, I'm still amazed by. But, again, I don't know enough about it. I would – maybe there's just something that I'm missing, but I agree. That just showed you had the whole Packer team over there, and Stephon is over there by himself. That tells you a lot.
Yeah, you're right. No one's got any time for that. Like, in all honesty, like, no one's got time for that, and no one really wants
bark,
to do that.
All bark, no bite.
Right? Like,
a lot of bark.
Yeah. And listen,
not a lot of bite.
The Packers secondary played really well, man. They played really good. They were fantastic. Like,
Micah Hyde has been, Evan Williams has been really good. Evan Williams has been a stud now.
Uh-huh.
He has been.
Yes. Uh-huh.
He's been a stud.
Uh-huh.
Hey, and you know who I've really, like, I'm enjoy watching week in and week out as he's developing is Cooper. I think Cooper is developing into a nice linebacker, man. I think that was a good find. I'm happy I got to call his name at the draft. You know, I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah. And you didn't say Edgerrin James, which was good too.
No, I did not. Yeah, I did not say that. I think he's going to be a good player, and he's fun to watch.
Before we get to tackle talk, you mentioned Gary. When you described him, that's the guy we all envision, but that's not the guy we saw until Sunday, last week, some might say, against the Texans. Like, he had, according to NFL
advanced next-gen stats, he now has 23 pressures on the season. He had 7 of them in the game on Sunday and 16 in the first 6 games. So he finally, they used him differently. They moved him around. They ran some stunts and some twists, and they brought him late. They lined him up in the middle of the defense. Like, that apparently is going to be their new approach with him, and we'll see if that allows him to play more like the guy you described, because that is who he was on Sunday. All right, we need to get to tackle talk because Zach Tom got, I wouldn't say got thrown under the bus by Matt LaFleur. That's too strong. But on the one interception that Love threw where he sailed the ball to Christian Watson, LaFleur did mention that we got edged. And it was Zach Tom getting, I don't want to say beat, but leveraged by Danielle Hunter. So we need to talk about our guy, Zach Tom, who is one of the best right tackles in football. You're waving your pencil for a reason, or can I go to
break? No.
Okay. You the pencil's in the
no,
camera
I
lens.
This.
I don't know what it means.
Look, well, I just do this. It's kind of...
That's what you
it's
do.
Like last
That's what
week.
You did last week.
The Cardinals.
Week. Hey, exactly. This week, tell us about Coors Light before we go.
Coors Light, brewed with a 3-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it's made to chill. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978. Coors Light is refreshing, it is crisp, and it is only 102 calories. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Sub responsibly, Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
More with Bulaga next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none.
Continuing with Brian Bulaga. All right, I mentioned the one play where Zach Tom gets beat. Is that not the story of an offensive lineman? Nobody mentioned anything else Zach Tom did on Sunday against, by the way, two really good pass rushers, right? Danielle Hunter on one side, Will Anderson. He did give up a sack. But our friend Josh DiMaggio sent me this just moments ago. Pro Football Focus's most valuable offensive tackles this season. Zach Tom, Penei Sewell, who I know you guys both admire, and Teron Armstead for the Dolphins. It's pretty good company to be in. So are you guys entitled to a game where you have maybe two plays where you're not star-spangled awesome?
Yeah, I mean, I would say this probably, like, and again, like, talking about, like, two plays that, like, I that's what I hate about the offensive lineman culture from the outside. Like, if you have two bad plays, they consider it a bad game. And he didn't have a bad game. He had a couple bad plays, and that was it. Like, and Hunter is a good pass rusher. I went against him for a long time. I know Zach Tom has gone against him multiple times because Hunter was in Minnesota. He saw him twice a year. So Tom knew exactly what Danielle Hunter is all about. He's very unconventional. He's very he's got really long arms, and he does things that just aren't normal for defensive ends, how he rushes and how he's able to grab guys' shoulder pads from a long way away and pull himself through. It took me a couple years to get used to how he rushed and how I would set him. Cause you don't set him the same way as other guys. He wants you to engage him so he can use his length and pull himself through and knock your arms. And you have to be very patient with him and kind of let him just run up the field because he's looking for you to engage so that he can knock your arm down or grab an outside shoulder and do all that. So I found myself with him being very patient, almost letting him engage me first so that I can fit my hands underneath him and pull him in and lock him in. The time that Zach Tom got beat for the sack, like, listen, there was a couple things on that. And the first thing was, I think Jordan Love was too deep. He was around 10 yards, which you just can't do that. Like, so part of me, I think half that sack is on the quarterback there, like against the a guy like Danielle Hunter, who likes to get up the field and work an edge and pull himself through, the quarterback has to step up into the pocket because it makes the tackle's job that much easier than to run an elite rusher like that up the field. But then the second part of that, why I still give half of it to Tom, is because he reached out for Hunter, which is like a no-no against that guy, and Hunter was able to pull him forward, which means his balance was a little off at that time, was able to pull him forward and get around. So, like, he'll learn from that, and that's part of going against elite rushers. And when you're an elite tackle like himself, there's a lot of eyes on you, and they expect you to be perfect week in and week out. And, listen, it's really hard to do in the NFL is be perfect week in and week out against elite rushers. But, again, I don't judge two plays as a bad game. I just look at it as he had a couple bad plays, and that happens against elite rushers.
Blue, what did you think of – I don't even know what the rep count ended up being, but Jordan Morgan, I don't know how much he played. I thought he struggled a little bit. What did you see?
Yeah, he struggled. That first series – man, and it was a long drive too. Like, it was a sustained drive, and I watched him specifically because I saw him come in at the TV timeout. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch him and see how he does. And he struggled. A lot of bad runs, a lot of pressure. Listen, this isn't to take anything away from him because that same defensive tackle, I think it was number 95. I mean, he had a big day. Like, he beat Sean Ryan a few times too. I mean, he had a good game. I don't know the exact rep count either. I didn't track that. That's normally
I've
something
got that
DeMossi
for you.
Does.
I've got that for okay. you here. They had 58 offensive snaps. Sean Ryan started. Then Jordan Morgan came in for the second series. I think he had one more
that
series after that. Maybe yeah. Because the out of the 58 snaps, Sean Ryan 45, Jordan Morgan 13.
Yeah,
that is not
yeah,
a rotation.
Both of those were. Yeah, no, that's not a rotation, and I think that you saw that discrepancy because of how he performed on the first series, his first series in the game. Like, and listen, like this isn't like, you know, like something mind-blowing here. Like, the coaches see it too. Like, when he's mm-hmm. on the field and plays are breaking down and defensive tackles are 2 yards, 3 yards in the backfield on runs and running backs are getting hit as they're, like, pretty much taking their first step and having to make adjustments off that, like, coaches see that. And they see, all right, this isn't going the way we wanted to. Like, we got to put Sean Ryan back in there, and that's the way it played. And it's not saying that Jordan Morgan's not going to be a good player. It just at this point in time, and I said it a while ago, like when Sean Ryan's playing well and he's doing the job at a high level, it's I'm confused to pull him out of the mix and put someone else in a rotation basis. It just doesn't.
Did somebody ask that question, Jason, to LaFleur?
I did. I asked it to Steno, and now remember, Steno is an old offensive line coach, an old offensive mm-hmm. lineman. And his answer yep. was that he needs to play because he's a really talented guy and he's not going to improve if we don't find playing time for him. So they feel like the best way to accelerate his development is not having him be a full-time starter, but put him into games. And as much as I like to fancy myself Johnny Follow-Up, I got cut off before my follow-up. Someone else was quicker on the trigger. Because my question was, well, what does that do to the rhythm that Sean Ryan might be in if he's the guy you're taking out every time?
Well, and now mm-hmm. you have these stats to kind of back up. Well, 45 and 13 isn't a rotation. So at no. some point, someone elevates themselves, just like I don't even remember who was battling with Sheed last year.
Yosh!
But Sheed, yeah, yeah, there you go. Sheed took more reps, and he's the guy now. So, Blue, there's been a lot of the other thing I wanted to ask you about is Rashid Walker. Because
speaking of Sheed.
You know, that pro football focus and all the other stuff. Have him struggling, and I know a couple people on our YouTube chat had said he's on the ground a lot. What are you seeing from Sheed?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all saw his struggles early on, right? Like those first three games, like we saw the struggles, and He was struggling with speed rushes up the field and quick up and ins, up and inside. So guy shows speed rush up the field, is able to make a quick move back inside. I saw him struggling with that a little bit. But I think he's kind of evened himself out a little bit. I think he's playing better. I really do. Like I said, everyone has plays throughout a game that they want back. Like that is life as a lineman in the NFL. Like to be perfect and throw a shutout and be absolutely clean a whole game is very difficult to do. That's why there's elite, there's very good, there's tiers to guys offensive line-wise. And the elite guys, even the elite guys in the NFL, have bad plays from time to time throughout a game. Like, that happens. But I think Walker's leveling himself out. I think he's finding himself more comfortable throughout games, and he's not having, like, those – as I described it, when he was struggling in a game, like, he'd be good for two series and then have a series that was just a stinker. Like, I mean, from start to end, and then he'd level him. Like, he's not – those are starting to minimize themselves, which is what you want to see. Like, you don't want to see this up and down pattern throughout a game, because that's not – like, you can't have that. But I think he's starting to play better throughout, and I get it. Like, listen – he's not like, yeah, he's on the ground sometimes. And like, that's like, was always my like biggest, like gave myself the ick when I was on the ground as an offensive lineman. I'm like, what am I doing down here? Like this, like get up.
What am I doing down here?
Yeah. Like it's like the worst. Like you just, I mean, listen, my first practice back from my ACL in 2014, I swear to God, I was on the ground. Like, It felt like half the team periods. Like, I was on the ground. I'm like, why am I on the ground? Like, what am I doing? Like, why do I keep getting tripped up? Is it me? Like, what's the deal here? But I think he's getting better. And we all know, like, we look at this offensive line and we feel great about the right tackle. We feel great about the left guard. I feel good about Sean Ryan. I feel good about Josh Myers, especially the way he's been playing. We all know Sheed, as quick as he won that job, the left tackle position was always going to be one that we're iffy on, right? Like, it's not that he's not a good player or he's not a solid pick, but, like, he's seventh-round pick, right? He won the job late last year and played well late last year, and we always knew, like, that's going to be the position to watch. There may be struggles there, but if you look at how he's been playing, especially against Houston, against good rushers, right, against really talented rushers and Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, like, I thought he did good. Like, I really do. I thought he played well, and those are the true tests when you go against these elite guys, and I thought he played well. No, not everything was perfect, but I thought he played winning football, and that's all you can ask from offensive linemen is to play winning ball, and I thought he did that.
Absolutely. Last one for me, Blue. Elton Jenkins is solid as a rock, right? There's not any worries. He's back playing the football that we expect. Is that what you're seeing?
Yep. Elton's really good. He's so reliable. We saw him jumping at center last week too, or 2 weeks ago. Sorry, Jesse, 2 weeks ago.
No, that would have been 3 weeks ago. Right?
Yeah, yeah. We saw him jumping at center. Like we know he can play tackle. So he's multiple, right? He can do a lot of things. But man, he's a solid veteran. Like, I remember Elton as a rookie, and I was like, damn, this dude's really good, and he's young. And he's only gotten better, and his performance is consistent week in, week out. You know exactly what you're going to get. You know you can rely on him to block one-on-one. Knowing him now and seeing him around the young guys, when I got to do that tailgate tour, he's really found his voice and become a leader throughout that group, and guys can rely on him. And he's a solid – and I don't know how many years he's got left on his deal, but if he needs to be re-signed, they need to do it quick. Like, I don't know how many – is this his last year? He signed a four-year extension. How many years ago?
So, Elton Jenkins' contract, he signed the extension on – let me give you the date here. It was a four-year, $68 million extension. His contract now runs this year, next year, and then – this is loading slowly. I think the next year is the last year. So he's got another year after this under contract.
Oh, boy's going to want him a new deal. He's going to want himself a new deal.
Fair. What about Josh Myers? You just mentioned kind of sneaky under the radar there about how well he you think he's playing. Could this be changing things in your opinion? Should it be, because you don't know what Goody's thinking, but should this be have the Packers thinking, okay, we don't have to pay him top center dollar, but this is a guy that's playing well. We like where he's trending. Is he worth re-signing, or is he going to get the John Runyon treatment out the door too?
I think he's going to. It's going to be tough to re-sign him, right? Because what I think is they love Jordan Morgan. They want to put him on the field, and he's currently playing guard. So I could see a scenario where Elton kicks the center next year, and Jordan Morgan is playing left guard, or Sean Ryan, whatever it may be. That's what I see potentially happening. And then they re-sign Elton, that year. I think Josh Myers is playing good. Like, this is, I'm not saying you don't re-sign him because he's playing bad. Like, I think he's playing way better than he did last year. I just think the way Goody's looking at this and the way he's building the roster, like, I don't think you can invest heavily because they're going to have to pay Zach Tom, right? And you only pay, especially with the linemen, like, three out of the five or two out of the five normally get paid. So, like, you're looking at this thing, how it's going to shake out. You're definitely paying Zach Tom. He's definitely getting paid. Sean Ryan's still under contract. Jordan Morgan's under his rookie contract. Sheed's under his rookie contract. And then there's Elton, who you want to keep. He's a steady veteran. You can kick him in multiple positions. He's probably going to move to center, put your first-round pick at left guard, and then you've got your two guys that are getting paid on the line. So, like, the way it works out. It has nothing to do with how Josh Myers is playing, because I think he's playing good.
I was right. Elton Jenkins under contract for 25 and 26, but that doesn't mean that they don't want to get something done with him.
You feel fairly confident about that.
Brian, you're the best. Yep. Go back to your workout. You look sweaty.
I got that done early enough. Now I got to go. I got to go out to my ACCA and do some stuff. So I got
donkeys.
I got some work to do.
Donkey.
Nah,
donkeys.
I'm still cleaning up. You would think I would have gotten that done. I'm not. I got more work to do out there. And not
come on,
Jesse
Blue.
And his donkeys.
Come on, Blue. Well,
can always do these
farmers. I got stuff. I know. So I got work to do.
All right. Well, get to work. We appreciate you, buddy. Thanks.
All right, guys. Take care.
That is Brian Bulaga. You can hear him on our show every week. You can hear him on the Homer Hour a couple times a week. He's on all of our programming.
Got him out of here early today. Early set for Blue today.
This early-ish. Is how it's supposed to be done. This is a great job by the team. We did wonderful today.
I like that we got to him. I don't want to keep Blue waiting. He's been awesome for our show. I don't like keeping him 9:35, 36. So kudos to you, Jason. I thought you did a great job there.
Yeah, and kudos to you for telling us right now about Fortrea Clinical Trials and all the good things that they've got going on. So you make a couple extra bucks and go down to Jacksonville and see the Packers play the Jaguars.
Is it the Jaguars? If you're looking for a little extra cash, well, you know we got you covered. And I don't want this to be where you have, oh, it's just for big people, or we have the breastfeeding one. Check out Fortrea Clinical Trials. There's a bunch of different studies. Today's healthy overweight adults ages 18 to 65, BMI of 30 to 40. Study involves three stays, totaling seven nights with 12 follow-ups, $14,148 bucks for your time and participation. Another one, healthy adults, ages 18 to 60, BMI 18 to 32. This study, one stay, 14 nights, 11 follow-ups, $13,006 bucks for your time and participation. Again, that's FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, ClinicalTrials.com.
Quote, we have the breastfeeding one.
we do.
That is part of the rotation.
Part of the deal.
Everyone knew what he was talking about. Yep.
Indeed. We'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.